welcome to a very solemn and respectful Overload on Air. For today is Good Friday, day when all Irish men and women are barred from going to their place of worship, the pub, and instead must abstain and contemplate the sacrifice given to us by our Lord and Saviour, His Royal Majesty Iocharach the First. That's right, friends. It's the week after the Irish Masters, and the king is dead. Long live the king. We don't have anything to toast him with, but there you go. Now we are living under the benevolent and not at all capricious and hard-hearted regime of Lord Tyrant Martin Hornacek. His name be praised. All praise be to Lord Tyrant Martin Hornacek.
All praise.
So, I'm Siski. And here joining me are...
Stu.
And Harry.
And nobody else, because Anto is a traitor. And so, to kick off, Harry, you qualified for the Irish Masters.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about how that went down.
Yeah, so I played the Friday qualifier, and I'm not really going to talk about that, because that was a bit of a disaster of a day from start to finish. Then on the Saturday, I got into the second qualifier. So, first game was Woot. I'm not going to offend him by trying to pronounce his surname. From Belgium. So that was... Oh, my list pairing was Haley 2, Striker 2. First game was Woot. It was Body and Soul versus Haley 2. And it was a good game, but I lost that one. On scenario, I just could not chew through the McCandles Roll Factory. Enough, but you know, it played it well, and he's a super lovely dude. It was just saying, he did the fairly standard thing of pursuing Eris 2, so she AD'd onto a hill and just sat there for the game. And like when I'm playing, if I don't move a model, I just assume that it's understood that I'm forfeiting the movement. But he said to me, he was like, oh, you know, just for future reference, you're better off like announcing that you're forfeiting the movement so that it doesn't trigger pursuit, because
even if you don't move,
yeah, you have to announce that you're forfeiting movement, because if
there's situations where it's impossible to forfeit,
yeah. Right,
fleeing models can't forfeit.
And if technically if you don't announce it, you're considered to have advanced zero. So like, he gave me a heads up on that, which was cool. Yeah, it was a good game. I feeded first to, like, because my Haley list has a lot of assault in it, but the Nice Hunters at Murdoch and Storm Lances, so I, like, played really aggressive, got up as close to the flags, the incursion flags as I could, and then feeded to, like, sandpaper off his front line and try and, you know,
Yeah.
No, I was trying to draw that game. No, it was a really good game. Second game was against Gard Andersen from Norway.
Oh, he's fine. Like, you play his five Angelius list.
Yeah, Bale 2 with five Angelius and a Seraph. It was a bit of a nightmare.
That was on the list, I think, that caught a lot of people's attention.
It's a real cool list.
Yeah, because is it Bale 2?
Yeah.
It's 13 force, so they're all 8 points.
Yeah.
And speed 9 first turn of the game.
Yeah. Like in refuge and admonition, it's just really hard to actually pin them down. And especially with slipstream in there as well. But, that was a good game. I managed to delay enough angels that I was able to deal with a couple of them.
Mm.
And then I had a lane to get thrown up and drop a big time bomb on Vale and get a Stormlance charge on him. So that was that. One thing actually that happened in that game that I think we both totally forgot about was he was using the objective as an arc note.
Oh yeah, you can't do that anymore.
So the angels that I did deal with would have been much easier because they were like tenacity'd.
Oh right. And you can't use...
Yeah, they got rid of that in SR15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Objectives can't be arced through anymore.
But it's never come up for me, so I just, it didn't occur to me at all.
Yeah,
a couple people made that mistake, actually. I think Is it Pete who got killed by... Somebody put their caster in a really bad spot because they went to... No, it was Frasier playing Dunford in the Masters. He ended up walking Vale up and was trying to go in for a caster kill and Aracula had the objective.
Oh,
he was like, oh yeah, you can't argue that. And he's like, okay. And Extreme Horn walks up and blinds him. He just gets killed. That was a bit rough.
Yeah.
The third game was against Michael Dick from Scotland. I think he was captain of Team Scotland last year for WTC.
He might have been.
I think he was.
It certainly sounds plausible.
There's the four Scottish guys I know, and then there was another Scottish guy at WTC last year that I didn't.
There was Luke Mason was the guy that was on the team. It wasn't
oh,
here.
Luke. That's, yeah, the,
I played
Spence
him.
Gordon. Yeah.
Yeah, and. Yeah, I don't think anybody else would have been. I think Michael probably was.
I don't know. We could look it up, but we're not going to.
He was playing
so.
Kador WTC, but he was playing Circle, wasn't he?
Circle
at Masters.
Michael's playing Kador at WTC?
Yeah. He beat Brennan with Butcher 3 against Tyra Climber.
It always catches me out. Like, I start to think, when I first meet people, whatever they're playing for that time, that's what I think of them as, you know? But I just forget that people just switch factions.
It's
so fucking awesome.
Yeah,
just
because you're on one faction.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a good game. I got played again, really aggressive. Jam past the zones. It was incoming, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Played real aggressive. Jammed the Storm Lances past the zone. Started dominating the fire zone. He went for a reasonably good assassination and then made some mistakes and then Thorn Stalker in the face a bunch.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, he got desperate, built a little wall of two range shifting stones, the Warpwolf and the Gorax in front of Kruger, and then I but the shifting stones were like base to base with Kruger, so I just threw a blind bomb at one of the shifting stones, and then Thorn just kind of walked right and staying in the Stalker's reach and stabbed him.
Yeah, Death 11, not so good.
No.
Against Mount 7. From about 13 against Iron 15.
Yeah, that's bad.
With 4 focus and temporal acceleration.
That's bad.
Yeah. And then the last game on Saturday was against Peter Gablevlev. I presume he was the only Infernal that was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was outflank.
He was the only Convergence player as well.
Yeah, that was outflank. And so my list pairing was like, it was Haley for almost everything, Striker for scoring trolls and Convergence.
Yeah.
But then the scenario was outflank.
Right.
The two big circular zones. Uh-huh. So I kind of had to play Haley. So I, again, just got real aggressive, jammed past the zones.
Yeah.
I don't think he made it past about 40 inches off his table edge.
God.
Except for a couple of servitors, and there was a good major stand in the middle of the table going, oh, you're Death 12, Iron 12, bam, 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 bam. Every turn.
It was Divide and Conquer 0, right?
Yeah.
I think I killed like 5 points of models in that game. And won 5-0.
That's right. Yeah, I remember you handing up your sheet and I was like, is this right?
Do you guys play a game?
So that was the qualifier. They were like 4 really good games. I was really happy with how it went, especially after the Friday. Like, I didn't repeat any of the mistakes I made. And I made a lot of mistakes on the Friday. A lot of forgetting defeat.
That is the worst mistake.
And a couple other things that I didn't repeat then on Saturday, so I was feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I remember in our game at Leprechaun, you forgot to feed on your second turn, and Liz, who was watching our game, went, you know, just getting, she was actually getting really involved, so it was good,
yeah.
But like, she kind of went, oh, sure, you can do it.
Yeah.
No! Under no circumstances!
I was like, you know, pass the clock over, and I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot to feed. And yeah, Liz was just like,
well, of course you can.
Yeah, it's fine. And Siski was like, no fucking way.
Haley's activation was like 5 activations ago. Whatever about like Haley activates last and then you ship the clock. Like I would actually think about it then. But yeah, the ball breaking feet. You know the way you're kind of watching your opponent like a dog watching food on a plate.
You didn't say feet.
Actually, the second game against Guard, it was the only game I've ever played with Haley. I didn't pop my feet. It just sort of never really seemed like an opportune time to pop it.
Mm. Well, what did you get through Five Angelii with then?
So,
or was it just a scenario?
He has one rake in the list, and the rake goes up real early and tries to tie up some stuff to slow you down. So he went up into... I had, like, Strong Lances sitting at the back of my zone. I can't remember what scenario it was.
Two fronts. One of the two rectangles.
Two rectangles. And
flanks. Are they objectives of them, yeah.
So I had the Storm Lancer sitting at the back of my zone, and the rake went up, leaped into the middle, and like tied up three of them. And Haley was about 7 or 8 inches away behind the wall, so the boosted TK pulled him out, like over to the other, like to the near side of the Storm Lancers. We shot him to death with some hand cannons and charging or assaulting boom outers. Yeah, because I switched into boom outers on the Saturday. For the list, so just that's I've had more practice with that version of the list.
Yeah.
And I love to meet some boom outers.
They are good.
Petrov, Deadeye Assaults. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. This is your unit's Deadeye.
Yeah, so I managed to get a couple of charges off them. He killed one Storm Lance with Angelia shooting. Like, with. Because he purified off Arcane Shield.
Right.
So I got a couple of charges on Angelius, on a couple of Angelius, or Angelii, to...
That's right. Yeah. That's right, Alex Shaver. Damn your eyes.
To tie them up at the back of his zone. And then, probably a mistake on his part, he just started repulsing them out of the way, and then moving the Angelius up. Or Angelii, up. And, like, slowly killing them. So, like, he killed one with shooting, then he killed with, like, three Angelii, he killed two more. Cause, and then, like, he just... There was one Storm Lance that just kept getting repulsed out of the zone to the side, who then would just, like, charge back in and assault an Angelius. Do a bit of damage, get repulsed back out. That Angelius would, like, move up, and then the next one would move into the spot where the last one was. So then my turn, the Storm Lance would just charge that one.
Yeah.
So, like, I was doing bits and pieces of damage, and I was like, pay 15 charges, and if they hit these all, which is, like, unlikely, but... And so, dice minus 3.
They're at 5, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Death
14 is so hard to hit.
Yeah, it's pain in the ears.
They don't have that many boxes. When you start getting in angels, they don't like it very much.
But yeah, as they came up, they were just getting, like, harmed, and then just shot down with hand cannons.
Yeah.
I got a lot of use out of Hades hand cannon in that game because she was just camping a lot of focus behind the wall. So she was just sitting behind the wall going, hand cannon shot at this Angelius. Like, dice minus 5, boosted. Do a bunch of damage. Like, they don't have a huge amount of boxes.
Yeah.
And then taking boom out assaults and stuff.
Yeah. Cool. So then Saturday night you came out, right?
Yeah, I was out for a while, but I left early enough because I had to. Get a bus home and stuff.
Yeah, be compass mentis for the next day.
Yeah, I wanted to be in reasonable shape for the next day. Yeah. It being my first Masters that I've ever qualified for, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was exciting. It was a real tough field. Looking at it on the Saturday night, it was just kind of like, Jesus, this is pretty much anyone's.
Well, Friday was such a weird day because, like, you know, Tongwon didn't qualify on Friday. Rickard went, like 3-0 and dropped.
He O2 dropped, yeah.
Oh, yeah, O2 dropped. Hordachek didn't qualify.
No.
On the first day. There was a load of people that, like...
Dunford got knocked out.
Yeah, Dunford got knocked out. Like, Ando qualified and Yaka qualified.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who else.
Tommy Guns. Yeah. Woosh. And...
Ed Smith. Michael Ireland. Christoph. And somebody else.
And then a bunch of those people also qualified on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, like, it felt pretty good qualifying. Like, after four, what I felt were really good games, qualifying in the same kind of heat with, like, Hornacek.
Yeah.
And Tom Gwan and coming up there, like, very, very good players.
So the undefeateds were completely different the second day. It was Tom Gwan, Hornacek. Dunford.
No, Hornacek was...
Oh, no, he was the expert. He was really far down. No, it was Tom Gwan, because he played Tom Gwan. Tom Gwan, Dunford... who the fuck else is undefeated?
Don't remember.
Scrub players. No one cares
about them. Alexander Cosmos.
Yes, and Fraser.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was good though. I mean, so the Irish Masters this year was its own event, whereas before it's always been part of a college convention. And so we had our two qualifiers on the 2 days. The first day was a 3 day event too, so it was exciting. I mean,
it was fucking Friday. I think it was Friday night, we were at the pub, and my brain was just like, and then tomorrow you do this again, and it's all over. You only have one more day, Stu. You're almost home and dry.
Halfway there, over the hump.
Some sort of
just like I woke up the next morning, I was like, ah, it's another day. No.
Some sort of survival reflex is trying to, yeah, get you to curl up into the fetal position and abandon everything. Yeah. I think going for 2 to 3 days just does something odd to your brain.
Yeah.
You're just, you know, because the weekend is, you know, you're hardwired to think a weekend is 2 days long, so a weekend being 3 days long just fucks with you completely.
I did really like the change in format, though, because, I mean, like, classically, the Irish Masters was just a 2 day.
Yeah, 64 player.
Yeah, big 2 days team and all it.
Yeah.
And whoever wins out in the end, that's it. But with the qualifiers, like, I really enjoyed the format.
I mean, there's pros and cons to that, but, you know, one of the pros is that if it's, you know, just a big old anyone can come along, then you can have someone who no one's ever heard of. But realistically, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and also then, I mean, if you have many qualifiers, then you really have more opportunity for, you know, someone who's getting better at the game to get through. You know, they have two chances to qualify. And,
yeah.
You know, other people might, who have already qualified, might open up a spot. Like, that happened for you, Harry. That happened for Martin. That happened for a good few people.
Yeah.
So I think we went down to 13th, didn't we? For the qualifiers for the second day?
Yeah, it was around then. So many people qualified before we got to the top 8 again.
Yeah, so you're talking about another 5 people. And also then we could have the side events. We ran hardcore on the Saturday, which had 8 players, which was not a massive turnout.
Yeah.
But we had something like 70. We didn't actually have that many more players than last year, but, you know, it just felt more.
It felt like a lot more.
There was more going on.
Yeah, we had at least 10 more players than last year.
Yeah.
So last year we sold 64 tickets, but we only had like 60 or 59 players or something.
Yeah.
And this year we sold 81 or 82 tickets.
Mm.
Something like that. And then we had like 70 something players.
Yeah.
Low 70s.
Surprising how many people pre-book and then don't come.
Yeah. Some of them were like ticket blind blocks. Like Guard and Yaka both bought just like a shit ton of tickets for like everyone they knew, and then they had people drop from their groups.
Yeah.
And then we had like a handful of people who had life get in the way, and that happens always. So.
Yeah.
What did he do to them?
it's the way he goes, man.
Yeah. I mean, he gets them to start looking for his shoes. And, you
know. I really liked for the team tournament, which I guess we'll talk about, because you were running it and playing in it, but the team names were mostly pretty great, and I really liked Lenny and Dan for life.
No, it was Team It's a Lenny Dan Life. Then the team tournament on the Sunday was a pretty good success. We had 8 teams, but that's 24 people, so it was pretty great. And I got to play with Pete Croft and Gustav Berggren.
Oh, Gustav's such a great guy.
In Team Two Slag Two Quit. Yeah, Team Two Slag to Quit. So Pete won all his games, and me and Gustav let him down horribly. So
did Gustav play Epic Build every game? He kept saying he was going to do, and he basically did it for every game of the Masters.
It was a one list tournament. I do apologize to people for changing the format of the tournament so often, because it would basically be what the last most persuasive person said to me what the tournament should be. So it's like, two tournament, two lists. No, wait, one list, two lists. And then people were like, but what about the team fee? It doesn't make much sense if you can have two lists. One list. It was good. I enjoy running tournaments, actually. It takes away all the stress of having to actually play in them.
It does, yeah.
And people just come and talk to you. You know, you don't have to do anything, really. You just take people's results, enter them in, and people just come up and have conversations about you and things. And,
It did help as well that we had the desk right next to the Muse on Minis booth, so you could talk to John whenever there was someone else around.
That's true. That's true.
That does not happen in local steamrollers.
No. And I got to shout. I do enjoy shouting.
You sure did shout.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could see the people would never learn when that round was about to be announced, that the people just, like, spread away from the desk. They're like, I don't want to be right in front of him when this happens.
Yeah, in a confined space. It's, yeah, I can feel, you know, the blowback if someone's standing next to me. I can hear, you know, just the sound coming back to me. It's like, oh, that's deeply unpleasant. And,
now, what team won in the end? I don't even remember. It was the one
team
with Ben Fat Curly.
No. Oh, yeah, that's right. Team Open Fist. That was Ben Curly from California, Tuukka Kallas from Finland, and Nicholas Mead from Cork. So the team was originally meant to be Ben, Tuukka, and a guy called another Finn called Marcus. But Marcus, I don't know, couldn't make it in for the Sunday morning, so he drafted in Nick, who had turned up to basically play casual games because he's sort of a newer player. And instead, he got to be on the winning team for the team tournament, which is pretty good going. And so. Yeah, and then second place was Team Fat Cat with Rich Wald, Rich Morrison, and Charlie Hamilton. And then we had, I don't remember the other order of the teams, but we had Team Rob Reed, which was Mike Porter, Dan Porter, and Owen Brennan. Then we had Team Latecomers featuring Rob Reed, which was...
Rob Reed.
Which was Rob Reed, Phil Dugan, and Connor O'Boyle. My lovely assistant, Connor O'Boyle, who ended up... The idea was that he'd come and help me run tournaments, and he ended up being the last player in those tournaments.
He's still to play. Connor, yeah. He played like 8 games of War Machine. Go.
That's unfair.
That's been unfair. He's played at least 16.
Yeah. Well, Connor is still the most competitive.
Yeah, he's ever played a casual game his entire life.
Yeah,
that's great.
Every game he's ever played has been in a tournament.
Oh, I've forgotten that. Man. Yeah, I guess he's been out of the... Because he, you know, went back to real school.
Yeah.
So he stopped being in transition year and went to back into the league insert cycle. So now he's, it's all business all the time. But yeah, most competitive player.
In the country.
Serious business.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was a great time. And, I mean, we're so lucky that people want to come to Ireland. I mean, I was kind of, I didn't know if it was just an Irish thing that we, or if it was something, you know, everyone wants to go to every country.
Yeah.
I was talking to RJ and John about it, and they're like, no, it's just Ireland. You know? I was like, what? You don't have. When you go abroad and you say where you're from to people, people don't throw open their arms and embrace you? What is this?
That's not how it works.
So we're so lucky that, yeah, players, you know, we've made a lot of good friends as a community, I think, and players want to come and players want to win it because people care about the Irish Masters, and I think that's. The mythology we've attached to it as much as anything.
No.
Well,
I think we got really lucky with, like, the players, like, as it was growing, the year before, we only had, what, 30-something players?
Yeah, 37, I think.
And, like, that year we had Hornacek.
Yeah.
We had some other, like, good players and stuff, and, like, it's...
And last year all the Swedes showed up.
Yeah, last year all the Swedes showed up. Like, I think we've been lucky in the players that have actually come over.
Yeah, we had like half the Swedish WTC team last year, and then again this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
But it's entering into the... And with the Invitational as well, I think you're going to see more people showing up to these random tournaments.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
And they won't be random anymore. They'll be part of a proper European community.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be part of the actual calendar. But...
And I think people were afraid about the European meta dying of death. That it would get kind of absorbed, but I don't think that's... Mm-hmm. I think as people become stronger and as people travel, I think you'll see a proper European meta emerging.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room as well for an event that advertises and organises well, like, because there's a lot of events that have qualifiers that are, like, impossible to find information about, because I know Norbert was a bit annoyed because he's trying to go to the Danish Masters. Apparently you can't find anything about the Danish Masters, like, anywhere outside of, like, Danish forums.
Right.
And so it's really difficult to figure out, like, where is it on in Denmark? He knows roughly when it's on, but, like, what format is it going to be? How much does it cost, you know? And there's a lot decent few events that are like that, where it's really hard to find the information. But, like, events that are really well publicized. I think it's one of the reasons why, like, Steamstorm does so well.
Yeah.
It's because Martin pushes it really well. He has it very well organized. He sends out a lot of update emails.
Yeah.
And even though it's fucking brass lava, it's like...
Well, I think, like, part of that as well is, like, that Martin travels a lot.
Yeah. And that was everyone.
And that was everyone. Like, I don't know any Danish players.
No.
Like, I don't know any...
Stephen Garmark from that year I met him at WTC 2 years ago.
I don't know any, like, you know, the Italian... Was it the Italian match that was on recently?
Oh, yeah, that was... That's on, like, next week.
Like, yeah.
2 weeks.
Like, I don't know any...
I just had, like, the chess box in time so they could have them, so, yeah. That's on soon.
Like, I don't know any Italian players. Like, I've never seen them outside of the WTC.
I know all some Italian players. But,
controversy.
So...
But yeah, like, the thing that's a large part of it is that, like, it's one of the things I think we do really well, not me personally, because I haven't really travelled at all yet, but, like, as a group, the Irish players do travel, and we kind of, and, like, you know, we get involved online and stuff.
Yeah, we get a lot of events.
We do get involved online.
We do get very involved.
It's just, yeah. The second any Irish person is mentioned online, it's just like a dog pile. Nothing is said, nothing is linked, but, like, you know, we'll find you.
We just know.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed when Kieran notices. There's no way that guy reads that often.
No.
Although the most impressive thing, I think, for someone just finding forums somehow, is Mike Purrier's ability to find forums where someone has said that X player is the best player, so that you can tell them that Jason Flanzer is the best player in the world. You'll find it, like, buried 5 pages deep in a Legion thread. You're like, Mike, what the fuck are you doing that you found this?
He must have some macro running in the background of his browser. Alert, someone is wrong on the internet.
He showed up in the troll players thing at one point. Someone said Jay was the best... probably the best player in the US or something, and like in the middle of his like troll form, that's like, Mike, you play Protect Your Own, what are you doing here?
Yeah, so there's that. I think we could advertise a lot better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Gaming events in general in Ireland could advertise a lot better. Well, like, we could probably get more Irish players for a start. Yeah. I think that could be. So I mean, do I'm volunteering right here now for the organization. For next year.
Alright. Didn't you have to apply the finger clamps?
No, not like last time.
Well, I'll be, I actually shot a decent amount of footage.
Awesome.
On the Sunday, in my, the round I had to buy in the Masters. I shot a good bit of footage, so I was going to put together like a, like video trailer type thing.
Class.
For the Masters. That we can have some extra.
Yeah.
Great.
Was it all shot in the nice room?
Yeah.
Good.
Like, it's all shot in the Masters room.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, that room. It was cheap. That's why we were there.
It's one of the things to work on.
It was cheap, but it had the space.
Yeah,
so then back to the Masters. So
it was in City Centre.
Yeah. So you qualified for the Masters.
Yeah. I think I...
You had not gone full Anto the night before.
I had not gone full Anto.
Who left the club at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's because you thought that that's how you won.
Yeah, turns out...
You have to be Yaka Rap and be out.
Yeah. But we'd tell Yaka the reason he lost round one is because he wasn't out. He was, his response was so good because it was like, you're right, if I had just been more drunk, I never would have made that mistake. He forgot to shake knockdown. It was heavy to get a charge for like a dicey assassination. It was a pretty mixed assassination run in Naresh. And then Martin kept being like, ah, it wouldn't happen. I was like, come on, Martin. It was a low-odds assassination run on you in a game someone was already losing. It was always going to happen. It's your weakness.
Yeah. They just that roll a hard eight.
That is his kryptonite.
Yeah.
He's just going to roll all those boosted nines followed by 11s.
So the Sunday, like I was, to be honest, I stuck with my list pairing because I only had one other caster in my case, which was the list that I was going to play in hardcore. If I didn't make it into, if I didn't like get into the other qualifier,
yeah,
which is my really silly PK list, but I stuck with the Haley 2 Striker 2, and I was just kind of like, I was pretty much just happy to have actually qualified. So the first game was against Alistair
Johnson
from Scotland. Or Beard Alan Yankovic.
I love it.
As I christen him. Yeah, it was a Haley 2 versus Haley 2
oof
game, and I think we were both kind of just happy to got into the Masters. Like, it was way more fun than that game should ever be. Haley 2 versus Haley 2 and outflank, yeah. Like, it should be just miserable. Oh, but we actually had a lot of fun with it. Like, it was a fun game.
There were a lot of mirrors that first round.
Yeah. Yeah, because we were on the table beside Tom Guan and and
Anto.
Lando. Yeah,
and then Tommy Gunn's played Ed Smith in A Circle Mirror.
Yeah.
Which is the only game we successfully recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that camera thing did not work out well, so next year we're going to fix that as well.
Yeah. Well, I think testing before the event is the main thing.
Well, like, he's been filming games for a while.
I know. Yeah.
He couldn't figure out why he was doing, like, it just would stop recording.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we had the first hour of the round two game.
Cool.
If you want to watch an hour of Body and Soul Mirror?
Nothing much happened. That
was the worst.
So then that was Alistair won that.
Yeah, Alistair won that one.
Yeah.
Second game, round two, was against Yaka. Striker 2 versus Doobie 2.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I like, played real aggressive. Again, Storm Lance is all up in his face. But any goading Mauler, like, just waltzed through almost an entire unit of Stormblades. And then a Earthborn that was sitting on the other side of a forest that was a little bit too close to Striker, but the Striker was sitting on the flag. It was close quarters. Yeah, the Earthborn just, like, because it gets the plus speed from forests,
yep,
just walked 8 inches through the forest and laid into Striker. Striker to kill Mulg, though.
Mm.
Which was fun. Mulg, like, goaded and got real deep and engaged Striker. So he was outside of the Order of the Stone. So I was like, I started dice minus 4. So I overloaded for 2, went up to dice plus 4, and then proceeded to roll a lot of, like, 4s. So it took, like, 2 extra focus than it should have.
Because he had already, like, a victory, though.
Yeah, he'd already taken, I think, 6 or 7 damage. So he, you know, should have taken 3 swings.
Mm.
But it took, like, 5.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's bad.
So, yeah, Yaka won that one. Then I got the buy in round 3, which was kind of lame.
David Berger dropped.
Yeah.
That done for crush his dreams.
Yeah. He, Pat, like, beat him, and I don't think David ever actually got to roll an attack.
I think he got to make one attack roll.
One attack.
I think that was the game. He made one attack roll. I'm not even sure it hit. All of his things died. It's kind of how Pat treated a lot of Braddock's players.
Yeah.
It was pretty rough. So yeah, pro tip, if you're playing Pat Dunford, do not drop Braddock's. It will not go well.
Pat was playing Haley too, was he?
Yeah. As always. So yeah, drop whatever your second list is, even if it seems bad, it's better than Braddock's.
even if it's Grail.
At least you'll get to roll dice.
Yeah. It will be more of a game. You won't just push your shit in and then kill your caster.
Yeah. And then game 4, like, by that time, a lot of people had dropped. Because, like, you know, for the final round, they just wanted to watch the last game.
Yaka dropped, and Tommy Guns dropped, and somebody else did. Because it evened out. I don't remember who the last person was.
Yeah.
Rickard dropped so he could play John. Because Rickard, I think, 0-2'd in the Masters as well.
What is it about you, Rickard? Can't you, like, can't you go a distance?
Shit action.
Yeah.
So yeah, the last game then was against Ed Smith, Haley 2 versus Gregor 2, which was nice because I got to make up for one of my really terrible games on the Friday, where it had been against him.
Mm.
That was Haley 2 versus Gregor 2 again on the Friday, where I had everything really nicely positioned and then forgot to feat. So I lost half my army, because it turns out when you position for Haley 2's feat and then forget to feat,
yeah,
it goes really badly.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
yeah, it really does.
So yeah, I managed to get an espionage off and shoot Kruger to death. Well, I did, like, a round of, like, a lot of nice, a lot of gun mages shooting them, and then move up espionage, and then a lot of nice, a lot of gun mages shoot them again.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on 4 transfers and, like, managed to burn through them all.
Shooting Kruger to death's gotta be one of those, like, greatest feelings ever.
It's pretty great. I played real aggressive. I was, for the Masters, I switched the Nis back into the list because there was a lot of Braddock's players.
Yeah.
In the Masters, so I needed the Nis in the list.
They do have Hunter, do they?
They do.
Hunter Pathfinder.
They're
not Ogre and Assault Corps. They're just hunters.
gotcha.
But one of the... Because they have the longer range, they're range 12 with the bows.
Yeah.
And they're speed 7. Like, even with the feet, they have a 12-inch walking threat with the gun.
Yeah.
Or with the bows. And then the gun mages, I had enough of them up, like, aggressive enough that he feeded and stormwalled, but they were able to, like, a couple of them were able to walk back into, like, within the 5 inches, and then the rest of them were able to get back into within 9 for the snipe shots.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
So,
Kevin
yeah.
Kruger, too.
Yeah.
I assume.
So technically, I went 2-2 in the Masteries, but one of them was a bye, so.
Take that win, Harry. You gotta take that win.
But I managed to make up for one of my bad games on the Friday. It felt pretty good.
Cool.
So,
you didn't play any games, did you, Sue?
A single one. Yaka was playing my army all weekend, so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Swap wasn't bringing in a second army. I had to carry.
Yeah, you got given a bunch of Kador stuff, and you were just kind of looking
at
it.
That's just sitting in a bag full of zones right now.
Mm.
It's only Assault Commandos and Rifle Corps.
Nicely awesome. Cushioned, though.
Yeah, definitely. And some Warcasters. Like, I like most of the Kator Warcasters now.
Yeah. I played a game of Hardcore against Owen Conlon, who, he was trying to figure out how his army worked in the 7-minute turns, so that wasn't pretty. And and then I played against his Royal Majesty, Yakarap the First, playing his E-Doomy list with Mulk, so I got to see how far Mulk can go.
Really far.
Turns out it's far. I assumed that he'd have to charge me, so I blocked off all this stuff, and then he was just like walking around. Jesus Christ.
Had you damaged him?
I did damage him.
So,
I damaged him on the way. He was like, do you want to do the free strike? He didn't even need me to do the free strike. Like, he was still within fucking however many inches. And then, yeah, playing in the team tournament. So I played against Christian Vestal, who was playing Body and Soul. And I was just not thinking in that game at all.
He's one of the giant Norwegians, isn't he?
Yeah. So I was going second.
Huge.
I was going second, but I decided to take the 7-inch deployment. You know, it's a tech against Denegra 2. And then I forgot to give my Warjax any focus. So, because I figured, you know, they've got +2 speed in the first turn. Like, why, you know...
Well, I mean,
that's basically a free run.
Like. Yeah. So, you know, why give them a focus? And, in his second turn, then, my Bastions, which had advanced move and then run, but, you know, I had decided not to give them the extra 3 inches that would put them into the zone, because that just feels cheap,
yeah.
You know? So,
you gotta really play it down a bit against Body and Soul. They're already playing a few points.
Yeah, it's
down.
Already a little bit of battle for them.
Yeah,
you know?
So, I got 7-point Templar, so it feels unfair, you know? So, that didn't go my way. And but it was a quick game. It was actually over in about 10 minutes, because he feated, and then I just double-checked, no, can't do anything here. Denegra's got all her focus, so there's no way this is going to happen. But yeah. So I saw that list, anyway. And then the second game was playing against Richwald, and I saw the Haley 2, Espionage, etc. Jesus Christ. And then the third game was playing against Life, and he sniped out the Covenant, then stationaried my... entire.
Oh yeah, he's playing Sorcerer One.
Yeah, entire force, and nice. Then yeah, he just got to Sevi with Sorcerer. That was it. But I had a good time. Yeah, but like my strategy was to rely on Gustav and Peter to bring me to the finals, and that's what I told him was happening in the first turn. So frankly, Gustav got the whole team down.
Just a disappointment.
Yeah, I know. He's not even my real son. And what else did I do? I played a really epic game of table tennis against John. It went like 27-25 at the end. So, but I made the mistake of letting him serve from only one side, because he looked like he was about to have a heart attack, in fairness, you know.
Did he not have some sort of like racial affinity for table
tennis? That's racist, Harry.
But yes.
But I think it's because he has no backhand. So he's just serving from the one side, just straight through. So the points which I got was where I was making him change sides. And but at the way I lost was, whatever happened with my brain, a shot came to me, prime shot, and I caught the ball in my hand rather than returning it. And Emily was watching, and she just goes, "What did she do?" Yeah, but it was good. Like, we booked this pub just around the corner from the hotel called Kennedy's. And Kennedy's, it used to be just
kind of a shit bar.
Yeah, like the upstairs was fine, kind of bog standard Irish bar. And then the basement, I think they used to have a goth club or something in there.
It used to be where the UGG, the Underground Gamers, played. That's why they're the Underground Gamers.
So that's why they're like that. Mushroom spores in the brain.
Yeah.
So it used to be just this dank, kind of painted black space. And it's still pretty dank, but they put on the heaters to mitigate that somewhat, so it doesn't smell so much like a sewer. And they've got, you know, table tennis and darts and arcade machines and stuff, old arcade games.
Yeah, foosball. Really
cool. Yeah, foosball. So it was pretty good, and I think it was a great space to have.
They have a good range of taps now as well. They used to just be like generic Irish pub taps, but now they've got a lot of craft beer and international beer.
Yeah.
So that's not too unreasonable.
And it was a quick stagger from the venue.
Does decent food as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the burgers are pretty good.
Yeah. It was a good venue for that. I think my favorite. Hmm?
We ate them out of food on the Saturday night, though.
Oh, really?
So they were panicking a bit. They closed the kitchen early and everything. I think my favorite table tennis achievement was, I think it was someone playing Norbert. I think it was John playing Norbert. But basically hit a ball, and then Norbert missed it and tried to catch it, and like it bounced off his hand and went up in the air, bounced off the column, and landed in RJ's pint.
That's right.
And who got dick paddled?
Oh, Jaka dick paddled one of the Swedes.
He like lost his grip on the paddle.
Yes.
Oh, right.
He accidentally lost his grip on the paddle, and it flew
right into
a Swede's crotch.
Gotcha. Tom Glenn wouldn't stop going on about dick paddling then. Yeah. He's a very excitable young man.
I don't know which suite it was. Yeah, pair played two games, got really drunk on Friday, and never played again.
You didn't play anymore,
nope,
you?
Nope, just the O2 dropped and then didn't play anymore.
That's right, because every other day he showed up at about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
He was going to play in hardcore, then he showed up at 11 o'clock. He's going to, you know, playing the team tournament that he showed up at 11
o'clock. He shouted in my ear at great length about how he was going to show up to hardcore to win the Master Craftsman Award and lose all the games, and then he didn't show up till noon. Neither him nor Jaka, but Jaka had qualified, so we expected that from him.
Yeah. But no, overall I think it was a really good weekend. I really like the format. I think like everyone seemed to have a really good time. There was no major dramas or anything that I saw, anyway.
Yeah, not really.
No.
Not significant.
Apart from Martin's tablet getting stolen.
Yeah.
That's another lesson. If, because people afterwards were telling me, like, oh yeah, I think it was probably that really sketchy guy who looked homeless and was looking in behind the curtains and stuff like this. Like, why didn't you say anything at the time? You know? But it's going to happen where you have so many people who know each other but don't know, you know, who don't know.
Yeah,
we recognize
a bunch of weird fantasy warriors dropping in as well.
Yeah,
which I recognized, but a lot of people wouldn't have.
Yeah, so I mean,
I'm just not sure why they were there.
Ah, because I guess
warriors.
Yeah, was a thriving game.
Yeah, I know Woody was there because they were possibly going to rent the venue. They wanted to look at it while we had it set up for wargaming.
Yeah. Woody was when we met the Norwegians last year. I think you were there.
And they
were saying like, "Oh yeah, we all used to play in the ETC, and we know a couple of the Irish guys." And we're like, "Oh,
we're not that crazy."
Yeah,
the fantasy Irish
teams
have a history of being
arrested.
Pretty much.
Oh, and talking about like, were you telling me about on the Sunday night what they used to do? They used to rent a load of like 6x4 boards and then return
tournaments. They would buy 6x4 boards for the tables for the tournaments, and then they would return them all to the hardware shop the next day or after the weekend. Be like, actually no, it wasn't the type of wood we used.
Monsters,
the worst.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, there's a lot to plan for next year and a lot to think about.
Yeah, thinking about venues and formats and all that again.
Yeah, but it was just so great to see everyone and just kind of, because I guess the European, like we were saying, the European meta is kind of crystallizing now and everyone is starting to get to know each other. And one stage, RJ was like, so have you played against everyone in this room? And I kind of looked around and I was like, I've played against a fair proportion of the people in this room. You know, just between going to Ironmoot and Steam Storm.
Yeah, so going to Ironmoot really helped.
Yeah, and playing 20 games at Ironmoot really helped.
But I haven't played, like, any of the Swedes or Norwegians.
Yeah, and...
Jakob played a couple of Finns. Jakob was my first Swede on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, actually, the one thing I really liked about the weekend was, like, apart from on the Friday, I played Anto in round two. Like, everyone was players I had never played before.
Great.
And I had like one repeat game with Ed Smith on the Sunday from the Friday, but other than that, like, it was all totally new opponents, which was great.
Yeah, brilliant. So, I mean, there's things I'd like to improve, like the Iron Arena. The Iron Arena format they had at the Iron Move was actually pretty great because there, you know, it was like you get points for playing people from different countries, and I think it's such an international event, and like proportionally, I mean, Irish people made up about maybe
a third.
Really?
If even?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe about a sixth.
No, it was more than that.
Was it?
Yeah.
16 out of 70?
This weekend?
Yeah. It was like 20.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, like, a lot of those Irishmen are English.
Yes, this is true. They merely work in Ireland.
Actual Irish people was probably about 12.
Yeah. Well, we are nothing if not inclusive. Oh yeah, are you counting Jaka in that number?
Oh, actually, not yet. Jaka and Martin.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need to start calling him Lord Protector Hornacek.
Lord Tyrant.
No. Well, Lord Tyrant behind his back, Lord Protector to his face, and then we can Photoshop his face onto Cromwell's body.
I really wanted to have him done up on a King John. And then have Jaka as Richard the First.
Right.
He's been imprisoned in Gothenburg. We will free him.
Yes.
Then we need a Robin Hood figure.
Yeah. Tom Gwan? I think so.
What are you doing with
that? Kieran is obviously the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Like, the way he was following Martin. I know Martin was staying with him, but, like, every time Martin would appear... Kieran would be behind him in that hat and with the big mustache, kind of like, pay your taxes. And when we were finishing up and went for drinks then in the Longstone, and the Ireland and Poland match was on, where Ireland beat Poland 1-1. That was pretty good. And then just after the end of the match, everyone was like, where's Martin? Why isn't Martin coming out on the pitch to shake all the players' hands and tell them well done? But he just appeared at the very end of the match, and it was just perfect, you know, celebrating his victory and our pseudo victory. Yeah, he was so happy. I think
something you could tell.
Yeah, he was smiling, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's such a weird sight.
Yeah, I think
a little unsettling.
Yeah, just
the mustache competition was very fierce this year.
Mm.
I feel like it needs to be an official thing now. Best mustache, Irish Masters.
Yeah,
there needs to be a prize.
Though. Yeah,
it's.
I only remember that I'd awarded that to David the year before, as I was announcing his win. I was like, oh yes, and best mustache.
I realized that I had trimmed my mustache poorly when they came at me with mustache wax and could only get one part of it to stand up, and the other was too short. I knew I'd done something wrong.
We were in Doyle's. After midnight four pints, David was going around and advising people on the types of mustache they could grow based on their stubble.
Right.
He'd be like, well, you have, you know, just above in this area, so like you could actually grow like a proper Prussian general mustache. He knows a lot about mustaches, it turns out.
Yeah.
I think he was telling Bryce that he could grow a Prussian.
He's the two-time winner of best mustache in the Irish Masters.
It's a competitive field.
Yeah, he obviously knows his stuff.
So what, it depends on your personal stubble growth?
So it depends, like, where you can grow facial hair. He's basing it on how much stubble you have that it shows. Because, like, you actually grow hair in different parts of your face. Not everyone has, like, you know, can grow the full mutton chop.
Yeah.
And you might not have hair up there. And apparently he can't grow a beard. Really? Like, he's just mustache. There's no beard going on there.
My dad's like that. He has a better mustache than I do, though.
Yeah, I can't really grow beard, like, side beard. I can only do the goatee that I grow. That's like, I grow that because it's the beard I can grow.
I know. I mean, everyone thinks that you trim it, but it's just like, nope, nothing grows elsewhere.
A little bit does. Just it's just patchy enough that I have to shave every so often.
Yeah, it's hideous.
It's awful. It's not as bad as Brennan's mustache, which was the worst.
Yeah. But it turns you into a fucking assassination machine.
Yeah.
It was like Edward James almost in Battlestar Galactica. When he grows the mustache, you know that things are wrong.
Shit just got real.
Yeah. Well, it's like,
I was telling him that now whenever he goes for, he should have a fake mustache. Whenever he goes for a caster kill, he should pull up the mustache and put it on his face. He's like, alright, shit got serious.
But he's, you know, and it just, all it took was Shifting Stones to be nerfed and suddenly Owen Brennan's in the assassination game. He just never does what, he does the book trends.
Actually, that's it. So, for WTC, if his team is doing badly and we need him to start doing cast kills, we hold him down and get a permanent marker and draw the mustache back on.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
Mm. It's going to be good. So, I mean, the WTC teams for Ireland got announced. Congratulations to all involved.
It'll take forever for me to remember their names because I'm bad at names.
Yeah. No, it's alright. It's alright. They're up on the War Machine Hordes Ireland group.
Which we assume all of you are in because everyone's in that group.
Yeah. And
the 200 or the 300 player Irish meta.
Yeah, I was explaining that to people, and they're like, "How many players are in Ireland?" Well, according to the Facebook group, 424. But about 150 of them are you fuckers who want to be, you know, in on the nonsense that we spew.
Yeah.
And
I was trying to tag some people and things in the group, and I went to tag RJ, and he wasn't in it. And I just wasn't prepared for that. But obviously, he'd be in it.
You just sort of assume that everybody we've met is in that group.
Yeah.
Or has been inducted.
Yeah. We should give a shout out to RJ for being drafted into running part of the team tournament.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
No, he flew over.
Mm, he did.
Bye.
I think, you know the way sometimes, I don't know, I guess we were having such a good time behind the desk that he kind of wanted in, and he'd been kind of so brutally manhandled.
Oh yeah, he had a rough.
Did he play the second day?
Yep.
Yeah, the first 2 days that he was just like, nah, I'm out.
So and I recruited him to help me carry a really heavy box of clocks back to my apartment. Put it into a taxi.
Okay, yeah.
Really had to get it through the like three security doors in my apartment building, which was comical, and it sort of cemented this idea in my head that RJ is just a sitcom character. Because he managed to get like the string on his hoodie attached to the lock in the door, and the door swung closed, and then we had to get the door open and unhook it from it while carrying this like 20-kilo box of chest box. Just like, RJ, how did you do this?
Right, so he's kind of like the Ross. He's the straight man who nevertheless gets into the slapstick situations. Definitely. Right.
He's also the guy who got the ping pong ball.
And his pint. Yeah, it was just...
Yeah, that was good. I think there's a good photo of him still drinking the pint with the ping pong ball in it. I think we had to put it back in the glass in order to take that photo, though. Yeah, I had a great time. John was staying with me here in my flat, and RJ stayed with us on the Sunday night. And RJ is the only person who has, so I live above a Montessori, or Americans would call it the kindergarten, and RJ is the only house guest who, when I've, you know, half-heartedly offered to give him a tour downstairs, like, oh, right, really? Yeah, definitely. Because he teaches kids of a similar age in England, so he was like, yeah, let's have a look around.
So he's living in England, is he?
Yeah,
he's going home soon.
Yeah, he's back. I guess he's got like a couple months left.
Yeah, I think he's going on his great tour right now, and then a grand tour.
I think he's back in Canada in like June or July.
Mm.
He's certainly right there in May. Because we were like, hey, RJ, you want to come to our birthday?
Yeah.
You seem pretty tempted.
Good. Excellent. Yes, I mean, thank you to everyone for coming. Thank you to everyone who said nice things about Overload on Air and asked us when the next episode would be. So the answer is today.
Well, it's recording today.
Yeah, no, because we haven't said anything objectionable. Don't you dare.
Why'd you say that?
So, you know, and
let me break out my list of cunts.
We have one prepared.
And apart from that, Then I can just tack some intro music on it and we're good to go. May as well put it up today.
What?
Displace Muse.
Yeah, fuck those guys and their master recap. They gave more shout-outs to Siski than they did to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jerks. I did like the amount of kudos I got, considering how little work I did in the run-up to the event.
Stupid other people.
I mean, not the tournament, of course, it seems like I did all the work, because I'm the one doing all the shaving.
I did get to basically sit around and drink all day Sunday, though, which was pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Norbert did pretty much work everything, for the Mazis.
So that was good.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Is there much else to talk about?
Anything
else Irish Masters-y related?
I
was talking to Norbert, actually. So, in like the... There's this cycle that I think is only shared between people who run really big events, though, where, like, in the build lead up to an event, you just hit this point where you're like, this is so much work. Why did I agree to do this? This is the worst. This is the last year. Never again. This is the worst. And then, like, the next week after, you're like, that was great. Let's do next year.
Yeah.
In a year, I'll just curse past Stu. Be like, damn, why did you... Oh, you're the worst.
We had that with Conspiracy after the first year.
Why?
Yeah, because we were like funding it ourselves as well. So like, in the end, I think for the first year we all ended up paying like 15 quid or something to make up the difference for the venue and stuff. But yeah, after the first year, we were like, I don't know why we thought this was a good idea. This was really stressful. So, what about next year? like in the same sentence almost.
Here we go again.
That was it where I filled my apartment with like boxes, like this giant box of chess blocks and prizes, and I was like, and now I have to get to Gamers World to get all the terrain for the event and get that to the venue. I was like, this sucks. Fuck this event.
Yeah, and one thing about going to other countries, you see their setups and you kind of just sort of germinate ideas. I mean, in Sweden they just have these collectives, you know, and they all rent, like, there's one of them, this town kind of to the north of Gothenburg, I don't actually know the name, maybe Lund, and they basically just have this warehouse space, but upstairs in it they have their gaming club, and they just, you know, members pay rent. And I don't think you get that here. I don't think people, you get enough.
I think Sligo had that for a bit.
But did they?
Yeah, that's the Flat Earth Gamers did.
Yeah.
But the only people I know have ever pulled it off.
Yeah, because, I don't know, there's something inherently disorganized about Irish people. I don't know if we could do it, but
evidenced by this podcast.
Yeah, but they had, and then they had, they provided all the boards for the Iron Moon. So they had just all these 4x4 boards stacked like on a pallet in their gaming club, you know.
Ooh.
And they had a trailer which we then just returned. Well, actually, the trailer was rented, but they just packed them all in the trailer, brought them back, and then that was it. And upstairs they had their gaming club, and they just, you know, it was their space. There was no shop attached to it, anything like that. So that's the thing, because if we're talking about getting boards together, it's just like, well, whose house are they going to be stored in?
Yeah.
You know? And we're all renting, like, we don't.
Yeah.
The only person who has garage space is, you know, the people who, to be honest, are probably going to be kind of dropping away from lots of competitive play because they keep having kids and, you know, jobs and whatnot.
Losers.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Sporting shit's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things you don't really understand, especially because, like, if you're from America and stuff, it's like storage shit's trivial in America. Space is cheap unless you live in, like, New York City.
Yeah. Whereas in Ireland, everything is expensive.
It's like, what do you do? Well, like, I have a garage and I have, like, a fucking shed. I have both. Why not?
Yeah. And a basement.
And a basement.
Yeah. So I have loads of space. Just
yeah.
And a bomb shelter.
Yeah. Plus, I live in Detroit, so my house costs me $300. I just buy the whole block for $1,500 and, you know.
The one negative thing I heard like a good bit at the weekend was how expensive Ireland is.
Oh, it's so expensive. Man.
Yeah,
from Scotland.
Yeah, not much we can do about that except for I don't know. We could look at doing the Irish Masters elsewhere, but then that brings, you know.
Yeah, then we're just adding travel costs as well for people.
Yeah,
because I briefly considered trying to do it like Conspiracy doing it in Kilkenny. Kilkenny's cheaper, it's still small enough that we can have an hotel and go to a pub.
I think Kilkenny is perhaps the second most expensive city.
Yeah, it is quite expensive. But, like, it's easier to get to as well than, like, fuck nowhere.
Yeah.
Leave. Like, which would be much cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's also somewhere that I could go as, like, you know, Emily's family lives on that train line and stuff, so, I would be down there anyway. Yeah. Which, as an organizer, it's like, I don't want to organize an event somewhere I'm never going to go.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I had to visit these places.
Yeah, so I guess if we're going to get bigger and better, and what you were talking about with Norbert was kind of doing the American style.
Yeah, we could see, we might do, we, there's a lot of shit to plan for next year, but like, we could move out to the airport hotel and just book that out. And, you know, but then we're out and not really near any great pubs. Although I'm sure there are pubs there because it's still Dublin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they're, like, you have very little control over. So, like, you know, say Kennedy's was a really good spot.
Yeah.
The downstairs in Kennedy's was a really good spot for the crowd that we had.
Yeah.
You know, there was all the table games and there was, like, good food and good beer and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you go out to the airport, you're limited to probably, like, 2 or 3 pubs that are probably not very good.
Yeah. And then if you want to stay in the hotel, you have to pay hotel prices in Dublin, which is the worst.
Mm. Yeah, so
that's the upside of being in the city centre.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Lots to think about. It's kind of exciting.
Depends what you think the most important bit of the experience is, I guess.
Yeah, so maybe we'll survey people or something. And
would it make sense to go back to, like, one of the colleges or something?
The venue, like, Goldsmith Hall is actually terrifyingly expensive.
Right.
If you want to rent it, it's not a college society. And then, one of the reasons that I just don't want to ever go back there is it's so much work for me. Because that is a lecture hall when we show up. And then we have to turn it into a wargaming hall.
And then turn it back.
And then turn
it
back.
Whereas if you're in a hotel, I mean, that was one of
we
the great...
We can just fucking leave.
That was the great thing. It was like, hey, everything, everybody's
I
shit
picked up all the
here.
Shit I cared about.
Let's
I'm
go!
Out.
Yeah. Well, that was like when we did Conspiracy Day in Kilkenny, like, we sent them a plan of what we wanted the room to look like. And when we got down there in the Friday afternoon, like, they had all the tables light up in... Like, in, according to the plan that we'd send them.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have to move tables at all.
Well, that's what you should have done.
Yeah, I did, and then it wasn't right. I talked to the head guy, and I was like, this is exactly what I want. It took a while to explain to him. I was like, no, I don't want space between the tables. I want to pack these people in like sardines.
Yeah, the organizer had obviously never encountered war gamers before. It's like, wait, you don't want, you know, you don't understand. These people would be cheek by jowl with each other.
I was explaining the first time. He was like, I go 4 tables here, and then we'll have a meter. And I'm like, no, I don't want that meter. I want another set of tables. He was like, there's no way you'll fit 60 people in here. And I was like, I think you'll find. If I make it good and intimate, I will fit them.
So, I'd imagine that's one of the things people would prefer we changed. And
almost certainly will.
Yeah. And that space became pretty dank pretty
yeah.
quickly.
It was actually, like... Well, certainly on the Friday, like, it actually didn't get as bad as I expected it to get.
No, it kind of got to a certain level of badness and then stopped. That was good.
Yeah.
When we started opening the doors at the top of the stairs and stuff.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately also opened us to, like, randomers off the street.
Yeah.
So we're definitely looking for somewhere nicer.
Mm.
But a lot of it depends on cost as well, because hotel spaces in Dublin are fucking expensive.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll look at it and hopefully do it bigger, better, and better next year.
Yeah. Maybe some year we'll get, like, enough money we can book out one of the really nice big ones.
Yeah. Maybe. But it's up to you, listener. Give us your money and we'll put on a nice event and it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think that's it. So
are we going to any events soon? I'm going to Steamstorm.
I am not.
No, I've been neither.
I may be going to Oslo in June, however, because Gard was staying here on Monday night and he persuaded me. and my friends live there, so I'll go see them probably in the evenings when I'm not playing War Machine. And I don't know, I've never been to Norway.
Here it's expensive.
Yeah, it probably is.
I got so much pressure from people to, like, go to their events throughout the entire weekend. Martin was definitely the most determined. Like, you know, you come to Steamstorm, you come to Steamstorm, you come to Steamstorm, like, every time I saw Martin.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know, Martin, I'm running this event. But then, like, all the Gothenburg Swedes trying to get me to go to Iron Moot, and then the Belgians trying to get me to go to Belgian Masters, or the Porn Murderwood Masters, as I've said it is.
Is it in the same place as WTC?
No, it's in somewhere even more isolated.
Oh, right.
And it's called Belgian Masters XXX, and it has, like, this pin-up girl thing on it, and I think it's classes like, you know, orgy death camp Masters.
That's why he shaves his head.
Yeah.
Like, so that there's no grip on there.
There's not even a way to get there. By public transport, like, you have to get a lift with someone. I was like, it looks like it's a great deal. You can do the whole weekend for, like, less than 200 quid. But
I don't understand how there are all these isolated
like areas in Belgium. I thought the whole place was about the size of
there's a bunch of woods in the middle where Klaus murders people who play War Machine worse than him, I guess.
That's why we hear so few. That's why we only have like these top tier.
Do you
Belgian
know
anyone who's
been to the Belgian Masters? I don't.
No, no, that's true. I don't. And yeah, I wasn't getting so much of that. I was getting a lot of slaggings. Like Michael Ireland was a reader of Overload Online, and he'd mostly read my battle reports where I was talking about getting my shit kicked in. So.
It's, I have literally had no one ever come up to me and like, oh no, actually I've had one person come up and talk to me about my articles that I've written in person.
Oh yeah.
And it's Scott Wright.
I've had people come up and talk to me about your articles.
Yeah, that's what I hear loads of people say, and no one ever talks to me.
Yeah.
I clearly cut a much more intimidating posture on the internet.
Well, for a while there you were drunk on your own sense of power. So they may have been actually afraid.
They should have been. I did try to kidnap Ricard on Saturday night to go to the pub because I didn't want Anto to win the Drunkest Player the Night Before award because I'm a good friend like that. So I started dragging Ricard along to the pub. I was like, come on, Ricard, it'll be great. And Ricard realized that my motivation to get him to go would fall apart if he just went limp and fell just ran in the middle of the street. So he just did that. Like on Beer Street. And I was like, well, Ricard, well played.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way you to defeat you, is to make it be any kind of effort to do what you want.
Well played, Ricard, well played. Then I let Hunter go drinking with Bryce till 4 in the morning.
Mm.
And then he showed up on time, which I was impressed by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any good crack that you haven't mentioned so far, Harry?
No, I defended Ireland's honour playing darts against Bryce and Fraser.
Mm.
Me and Malone took the darts trophy home.
Very good.
Yeah, but I played a little bit of darts before. I made one as a darts board and stuff. So like my first time up, I threw like a 90 something.
Nice.
And it was like I could not live up to that for the rest of the game. I was like the rest of the game it was like 30, like 20 something.
That's all right. I mean, like when you've got that much of a lead. And you're playing against drunks. You just have to stay that little bit ahead of them. And you're alright.
That's the key.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see everyone again next year and some more
besides.
We'll
see pretty much everyone at WTC.
Yeah.
And I ended the Masters on the, I feel like, the appropriate note, which is the last thing I did before I fled into the night was sack tap Anto. He was in the middle of giving me, like, a really nice, like, you know, Stu, I give you a lot of shit. But I really like you, and I really, you know, you did a really good one. With my arms over my head and a comical drunk posture going, woo, 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 woo.
What, with your foot you sack tapped him?
No, with my arm.
Okay. Jesus.
I thought this was the only way to end that note.
I thought he was sitting delicately the rest of the night. Or
good times, good times.
You're a dick, Stu.
I am the monster.
And on that note, it's goodbye from Siski
and Stu
and me.
Peace out.